prayer, you can turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And also you can put a finger there. And if you would like, you can put one in the Psalms. Mm-hmm. Got that on my mind now, that song. Psalm 16 and verse 8. I'll read those in just a moment. We're talking about prayer quite a bit, and we read a verse, or some verses earlier tonight from Luke 18, verses 1 through 7, about continual, persistent prayer. Paul said in Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, we need to be people of persistent, continual prayer. We said that. When we do that, we're living within a God-conscious state in which everything we see and experience becomes some kind of a prayer. Because we're living with an awareness of and a surrender to our Heavenly Father. And then I gave you several things about this command of a consistent prayer. But really, what it boils down to is this. Everything in life becomes an opportunity for you and I to commune with our Father. Now look there, if you would, please, at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on things of earth. I think I said this last week. There has to be a God consciousness with us at all times. Yesterday afternoon, I can think it was, maybe it was the day before, but anyway, I got a phone call from Jeff Bassett. Now, Jeff Bassett is a missionary. He's been to Africa and Congo in one other country, and he started about 30 churches, so he flies back and forth. Now, he mainly is involved with training the national pastors, but he also teaches where we go to the conference we go to in the summer in New Jersey. He teaches a missions program there. So he teaches Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, this makes no sense to me, but he moved to Williamstown, New York. But he's going to keep teaching in the college in New Jersey. So I'm like, well, he goes, it's so expensive to live there that it's cheaper for me to live in Williamstown, but he has family there anyway. It's cheaper for me to live in Williamstown and commute every week to New Jersey and back. I'll save thousands of dollars. So I thought, man, it must be pretty expensive to live in New Jersey. And he's got a camper set up down there so he can do that. But as we were working with him last night, he called to know if I could help unload the truck. So me and John Johnson went up to help unload his U-Haul. But every time he picked up something, he always had like a Bible phrase or some kind of a scripture that would fit into it. So I figured I'd jump into this game too. So like that guy picked up the weight. He's got some dumbbell weights. So the verse I quoted, laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. But he's living with this scriptural mindset and this God consciousness all the time, kind of witty like that. And I'm not the wittiest person walking. But that was it was kind of fun, and it was kind of nice to be around a guy that, it was kind of a funny thing and mostly a joke, but he would use scriptures all the time for everything. And I think he lives with a Bible awareness and a scripture awareness in everything that he does in his life. I found it a blessing. And so anyways, it says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Now notice what David said in Psalm 16 and verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. The Lord and the things of the Lord ought to always be right here on our mind. Because the ultimate purpose for God, as for believers is concerned, is to glorify, God wants to glorify himself and to bring us into rich fellowship with him. And failure to seek him in prayer is to deny that particular purpose. In 1 John 1:3, John said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to be fellowshipping with God. Now, God's greatest desire and our greatest need is to be in constant fellowship with him. Now, and by the way, there is no greater earthly expression or experience than that of fellowshipping with the Lord in prayer. And if I could convince all of us that, we could get a lot accomplished for the glory of God. Let me mention just a couple of things tonight. First of all, I told Tiffany that we'd try to get everybody out of here a little early tonight. We were here, so we're not aware how, I guess, how bad the roads are, but Jimmy and Brittany drove in, but and some others, so they said the roads were getting pretty bad. Anyway, number one is persistent perseverance in prayer. Now, let me just say this. Prayer is not easy. Prayer can be work. It can be. Just because we can talk to God anytime throughout the day that we want to certainly does not mean that we will. There's no guarantee that we will. Do we know we can? Everybody here knows you can talk to God whenever you want to. But that does not mean that you will talk to God every time. Doesn't mean that. Paul said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In Ephesians 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We are to be intense. Perseverance is to endure. It's to stick to the task. We're to be people of prayer. And when you pray, you keep it up until you get an answer. Just like what we read about over there in Luke chapter 18 when we started. Turn to Luke's gospel again, only this time go to the 11th chapter. Continue in prayer, to continue earnestly, to courageously and persistently bring everything, especially the needs of other people, before God. Now look here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. He said unto them, which of ye shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is of his friend, yet because of his importunity, that was the word I was trying to think of last week, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Now, Jesus teaches 2 things about persistent prayer here. First of all, it shows the benefit of persistence. It works. I think last week I mentioned, this is the part of prayer that I don't always understand. Just keep asking and just keep asking and just keep asking. Sometimes when our kids do that, you're like nagging us, man. Leave us alone. Give us a break. But that's not what our Father in heaven wants. He wants to consistently and persistently ask him to pray. Friendship did not benefit the man who needed bread. But his persistence ultimately paid off. And because of his sympathy, the friend could not take the perseverance, and so he gave it. Now, secondly, and this is even more profound, if a sinful friend will honor persistence, how much more will our holy, loving, sympathetic Father respond to us? He's more than our friend. He's our Father. A second parable that we read there in Luke 18 also illustrates the virtue of persistence. If we don't get an immediate answer to our request, or if events don't turn out exactly or as quickly as we'd like, we are not to lose heart. 2 Sunday mornings ago, I used an illustration. It was more to do with Mr. Kimball in winning D.L. Moody to the Lord and the unbroken thread of the amazing people that are connected, F.B. Meyer, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, Mordecai Ham. They're all in the same thread. It's an amazing thing to me. But in the middle of that thread, there was a prayer meeting in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And those people got a hold of God, and they said it said that they prayed for 10 years that God would send a revival to Charlotte and one that would strike the world. And then a preacher came to Charlotte and preached after these guys were praying for 10 years. And Mordecai Ham was the preacher and the young man that got saved, and he shook the world for Christ, and that was Billy Graham. Now, I want to say something, because this bugged me. So I got done preaching that Sunday morning, and somebody says to me, you know, Pastor, Billy Graham, he wasn't all that good when he turned out. Billy Graham went ecumenical when in his older days. But when you win a million people to Christ, then come and complain about him. Because he probably won about a million people to the Lord in his lifetime. Now, do I think he went ecumenical in his latter days? Yes, I do. But I'm not going to criticize how God used him for all those years. I think that's just a mistake that people make when they do that. Anyway, the point of the story is obvious. We need to pray. And the point of these two parables that Jesus gives here is we need to pray. God is the opposite of an unjust judge who acted only because he was tired of the complaining woman there in Luke 18 we read earlier. God longs to respond to his children who are persistent in prayer, even though many times, for his own reason, he makes us wait longer than we would wish to wait. But God knows best. God always knows best. Just keep praying without ceasing and don't give up. Keep knocking and keep asking and keep seeking. Our concern for others should express itself in how fervently we take our requests to God. Now, look at Genesis chapter 32. Verse 24, if I can get that page to turn. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So Jacob here is wrestling with God. But you watch this now. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go. For the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou that ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face in my life is preserved. Jacob wrestled with God, and he wasn't going to let go until God had blessed him. Now, that's the kind of persistence and earnestness that we need to show in our own prayer life. We can't force God to do what we want, but we can demonstrate to him a heart of compassion and genuineness of a concerned and a caring person and a caring soul we might be praying for. Jesus prayed like this. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. I'm going the wrong way. Now I'm going too far. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Now, passionate prayers offered to God with great intensity and agony characterized our Lord's life on the earth. Remember when he prayed in the garden? Remember when he prayed in Luke 6? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and then continued all night in prayer to God. The most intense prayer, Luke chapter 22, please, and spiritual battle took place here. Let me ask all of us a simple question. Luke 22, while you're turning there. When was the last time you or I spent all night in prayer? I mean, there was something on our heart so heavy and so burdensome that we spent all night in prayer. Or when was the last time we just decided, you know what? I think I'll spend a night in prayer tonight. And just spent a night from, you know, 10 hours or however long. The whole night in prayer. I've been to all-night prayer meetings, but it's been a long time. I remember when people would preachers would call and say, hey, we're going to have an, you remember that, Bill? We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. And we go and we'd have an all-night prayer meeting. I cannot remember the last time somebody called me, invited me to an all-night prayer meeting. But I'll even say one other thing. I don't remember the last time I called anybody for an all-night prayer meeting either. Whatever happened to those? Why did they just fall by the wayside? Just a thought. Is it possible that America is in the shape that it's in because Christians decided maybe we just don't need to pray like we used to? I mean, if you listen to the news, is there anything good on the news ever? Because I don't hear very much good. In fact, no matter, I get sick of reading the news and listening. I read most of it. I don't listen to it very often. I don't watch too much of the news channels. Luke 22, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. This is Gethsemane. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now that is prayer, and that is agony in prayer. Matthew, if you'd turn there for a moment, chapter 26, it's the same prayer. It's the same place. It's a little bit more detailed and a little bit longer. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that be James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink of it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand that doth betray me. Now, it's the same prayer, and it indicates that in that particular section that Jesus petitioned the Father 3 times. Now, our Lord performed many mighty works when he was on earth. Yet, in none of them is there any apparent time when he did anything without prayer. The Bible says power went out of him in Mark 5 and in Luke 8. But there is no record that he just prayed. Only when he prayed do we see him agonize and toil over his petitions, even where he sweat, it said there, great drops of blood. Now they say, I'm not a doctor, but they say when a person's heart is breaking, he can sweat drops of blood. I've never experienced it. I don't know that I know anybody that's experienced it, but such perseverance is foreign to a lot of us. And yet it is the intensity that Christ wants disciples to learn from those in those two parables. Not only is there persistence and perseverance, but also there is constant, and I kind of alluded to this earlier and I'm trying to hurry, there is constant alertness. If we are to persevere in prayer, we must also be on the alert for situations that need to be in our prayers. Now, I want you to go back, and I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures. I'll skip the ones I have in the Gospels, but turn to Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then, you probably can quote it, but look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. That's said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to pray alertly, you must be alert to what's going on around you. For instance, We mentioned here to pray for our president. We have a president and our other political people on our prayer list. But man, they are beating him up. And he's not even in America. He's in Vietnam, meeting with the Kim Jong-wong or whatever the guy's name is over there, the North Korean guy. What do you used to call it? I like it. Likes it when he calls him Little Rocket Man. But anyway, so we're over there meeting with him again. Now they're over here beating him up and beating him up and beating him up. It's just, if he says this is right, they're going to say that's right. He ought to use reverse psychology on him. And some of the nonsense. We need to get all cows out of the United States of America. That's what one of our politicians is going to run for president said. And all airplane travel needs to stop. You think about what that would do to the economy. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, it's just flat stupid. I don't even, but it's just bizarre. And they come up with all of this stuff, and I don't know. Anyway, we need to pray. How many, don't even raise your hand. You ought to know all that stuff is going on. These are people that, when I got thinking about this 20 years ago, because is it Mrs. Warren who wants this one governmental run total health care plan and all that? And I remember years ago when I first got saved, preacher saying, there's going to be on one world currency. I said, well, okay, that's interesting. I'd never heard anything like that being a Catholic. And there's going to be a one world medical thing, and the government's going to control this and control this and control this. And I thought, boy, that sounded way out there in left field. But you know what? We're watching it happen right before our eyes. It's crazy. In one world money system, I got that. A one world government, it's just something. We are to keep our eyes open, and we are to be alert to the needs of the spiritual and physical needs of other people. And as we become sensitive to what's going on around us, you know what we learn to do? Pray. We learn to pray. This abortion bill and the continuing expansion of it, it ought to just grieve you to no end. It's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. And when you can leave a baby on a table somewhere and say, it's a born alive, but that's okay, we won't give it any attention, that ought to break your heart. It's sickening. If somebody shares a need with you, do you really pray about it? I mean, when you get the phone call on our prayer chain, this is what works best for us, especially me. Okay, we just got a phone call, so-and-so needs prayer. Now let's stop what we're doing and let's pray. Amen. Pray right then. And by the way, when someone in church comes up and says, Pastor, will you pray for me? You know the best time is for me to pray for them is right then. Especially if they ask on a Sunday. Or I'll say, write it down. Let me add this. As we get more sensitive to the needs around us and to the needs of others, we pray more specifically because we know what's going on. We pray more earnestly. We pray more specifically. But if we're not alert to the specific problems and needs of others, we can't pray about them specifically or earnestly. But when we do, we can watch for God's answer and we can rejoice when it comes and then offer him our prayers of thanksgiving. So as we become more sensitive to what's going on around us, we learn to pray. Now let me ask you this. How persistent are you? I'll ask myself the same question. How persistent am I? Do you ever get discouraged with prayer? I got a phone call one night. I won't tell you the whole story. But the second half of the story goes like this. I ended up at a woman's house in our church. And her husband was not there. And I don't know. But then I said something, are you mad at God? And boy, she just started bawling like a baby. And I knew there was something seriously wrong. She says, yes, I am, Pastor. For 20 years, I've been praying for my husband. But God won't answer that prayer. I can't tell her why. I don't know why. But she was heartbroken. And then I learned how to pray for her. I knew exactly how to pray for her. Ever pray the same prayer for years? Maybe a wayward child? Salvation for somebody that you want to desperately save, see saved? Don't stop. Just keep praying. Are you alert to the needs of others and other things around you and what's going on? If you get close to God, you will be. Father, I pray that we would learn how to pray to you. We would be earnest. we would be sensitive, we would be alert, we would be, as you told your disciples, to watch and pray, we will be watchful. Father, we'll keep, and as we learn these things, I pray that you'd put a real passion and a real burden on our heart to pray for the needs of others, the needs of our nation. The spiritual condition of our nation is very deplorable. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. I got a nice stack of missionary letters, and some of them are now, they're getting to be multiple.